first interrogation was like?
Well, it was pretty hard at the beginning, but after, you know, I talked to them in Japanese, they felt more relaxed, and they started to, beginning they kind of hesitate to talk, but I told, you know, I told them that this is for your own good, and it help us to save you boys too, so, you know, give us all the information. And he started to give me some information that we asked whatever we wanted to know.
Okay. Can you describe an interrogation?
Yeah, well, the first thing I asked is the troop, information on the troop, who's the commanding officer, and how long they've been there, and also any kind of sickness there, and about how many men, in their opinion, were in the island. In other words, soldiers are camping on that island. And whatever they know, of course, not really accurate, but they get some idea about the strength of the troop over there and how long they've been there, and any kind of sickness was, and had that, any kind of sickness there too. But most primarily is the where they landed, when they came, what boat, and how long they've been there.
Did the nature of the interrogations change after a while? Or were you trying to get different information?
Depending on the condition and situation, too. Yeah.
So you were mostly getting tactical information?
Yes, for that particular time, our troop can use it immediately, the information, that's vital information.
Where were you when the war ended?
War ended, I was in Kwajalein taking care of 700 prisoners, and I was in the prisoners' camp when the emperor said on the radio, saying that, you know, he announced that Japan was surrendering.
And what was that like?
To be honest, I'm glad that I was happy, but a lot of the prisoners was really sad, and some of them were crying.
Was it because they were hearing the emperor for the first time? Or
yeah,
was it because
the Japan surrendered finally, after all what they went through.
How did you feel about the prisoners now, Japan?
Well, I thought, frankly, the prisoners, they were very cooperative, you know. So, I can very proudly say that our government, as far as those prisoners under my jurisdiction, were treated real according to the League of Nations prisoner of war rules, and were treated real good. And they were very happy to be with, that they were prisoners of American than any other country. Prison of any other country.
Would you describe psychological warfare?
Psychological warfare, you see, the Japanese as a whole, they were already trained not to go home alive, so they don't give up too easily. So we try to, you know, psychologically, make them feel like a homesick, and then love for the family, and they want to go home, and we told them that already the fighting has stopped, but then again they don't really believe until, you know, they get hired orders from the command post, so it's very, very hard to convince the psychologically to, and we sent out, we used to last speak with the last speaker, we play Japanese music and all that, you know, to make them feel like a homesick. And we had few Japanese souls that escaped from the group and joined our and came to our ship. So I used their service and have them announce to the bodies on the island and telling them that they don't have to worry, that we are treated well and medical treatment and whatever it is necessary. So to come out, but then that follow them didn't come out. So we weren't too successful in the psychology. We hardly got anybody. And we drove, we sailed around the island for many hours, just broadcasting to them and giving them all the, you know, make them homesick.
Do you think, you said you didn't think you were too successful. What did you measure your success by?
Well, we expected a lot of them to come out, but only two or three just came out, you know.
How about civilians?
But I didn't see no civilians on those islands. There's only military.